Grace, mercy, and peace be to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our word for consideration today is taken from Joshua, his book in the 24th chapter, verses 1 and 2 and 14 to 18. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Here ends the text. In the name of Christ, our blessed Savior, dearly beloved of God, the year was 1892. It was in a September issue of a popular children's magazine that the original version of the Pledge of Allegiance appeared, a bit shorter version than the one that we use today. Since that time, the pledge was modified several times. It was in 1954, during Dwight Eisenhower's presidency, that the pledge took its present form, and it's been used ever since as an expression of American patriotism and loyalty to the flag and to the Republic of the United States of America. Do you know that there are pledges of allegiance that are also found recorded on the pages of Scripture? Scripture contains, for example, the wonderful and the most important, beautiful pledge which our Lord has made to us, his believers, his steadfast promise to remain loyal to us always and keep us as the apple of his eye, for Jesus' sake. And there are also pledges and promises and vows which believers of ages past have made, which we read about in the Bible, to remain loyal to the Lord and his word. And this morning, we want to consider that, what we might call the Christian's Pledge of Allegiance. First and most importantly, as mentioned, God's gracious pledging himself to us in covenant faithfulness for Jesus' sake, and then the vow or pledge that we have made to stay faithful to the Lord by his grace. Our text takes us back to the days of the servant of God, Joshua. As you probably know, he was the successor of Moses, the man who led the Israelites in their conquest of the land of promise. Joshua served the Lord very faithfully for many, many years. And at the time of our text, he's a very old man, well advanced in years, in fact, over 100. And he summons all the leaders of Israel into his presence that he might deliver to them a farewell address. In this address, he recounted the many marvelous evidences of the Lord's tender mercies towards the Israelite people in their history. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to you has failed, Joshua said. Every one has been fulfilled. You've seen everything he's done for you, how he fought for you, gave you the victory over your foes. And now, you must be very strong to keep and do everything written in the law of Moses. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Be careful to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Serve only him. And also know that just as the Lord has kept every one of his good promises to you, so he will bring on you all the evil that he has threatened if you violate the covenant he made with you. If you were to go after other gods and serve them instead, his anger will burn hot against you, and you'll perish quickly from the good land that he's given you. It was then that the venerable old leader Joshua assembled all the people and the leaders at a place called Shechem for a special covenant renewal ceremony with the whole people of Israel. He reminded them once again of all the wonderful evidences of the Lord's kindness through their history. This is what the Lord is saying to you today, he said. You know how your forefathers used to live beyond the river Euphrates and serve non-existent idol gods, how I led Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him to Canaan. I gave him the son of promise, Isaac, many descendants. I remained loyal to you all through the 450 years that you spent in Egypt when Pharaoh oppressed you as slaves. I raised up Moses to lead you out, saved you from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, guided you all through your desert wanderings, destroyed all your enemies, did not allow the false prophet Balaam to pronounce a curse upon you when the unbelieving king Balak of Moab had hired him to do that, but instead to pronounce a blessing upon you. And after leading you into Canaan, I then helped you defeat the hostile nations who lived there. The walled city of Jericho, walls came tumbling down. The Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And you didn't accomplish this by your skill or military prowess. No, all these blessings you've enjoyed, the comfortable cities you're living in now, the vineyards and olive groves you're harvesting food from which you did not plant, do 100% to my loving kindness, because I pledged myself to you in covenant faithfulness for Jesus' sake. Now, that's quite a lot of history we've recounted and rehearsed from that snippet of the life of Joshua. Does it seem to your friends sometimes when we read stories like this from the Bible that it is just, well, ancient history with not a lot of relevance for our lives as God's people today? But as we think more carefully about these Bible accounts, we recognize, don't we, we can see God's merciful dealings similarly in our lives as well, his Christians today. We can detect telltale footprints of his fatherly love and gracious dealings and protection throughout the days and years of our lives, both as individual Christians and as a congregation of Christians like St. Paul Lutheran. As individuals, the Lord brought it about, did he not, that we heard about Jesus, whom he sent in love to liberate us from the captivity of the cruel taskmaster Satan and the threatening perils of our sins. He used his powerful gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit in baptism to bless us with saving faith and enable us to anchor our hopes in Christ. He has also performed many miraculous signs and wonders by providing us with rich supplies of daily bread, things like recovery from illness when we got sick, strength for the day, deliverance from things like pandemics, power from on high to bear up under individual crosses that he, in his wisdom, calls upon us as his people to bear. As a congregation, again, he's led us in faithfulness, defeating our Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites and Girgashites and Hittites. Here I'm thinking of the hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms that St. Paul speaks about in Ephesians that seek to hinder and harm us on our trek towards our heavenly fatherland. And also protection from, deliverance from the false Balaam prophets and false teachings which would do our faith spiritual harm, which would lead us away from the good paths and the good way, away from the pleasant pastures of the Good Shepherd and his pure gospel centered on his cross and empty tomb. The Lord might ask us today, who's kept you as individual believers and us as a congregation true to the Lord? Well, same answer, it's God. Beautiful gospel answer. God who has pledged himself to us in covenant faithfulness for Jesus' sake. All praise be to him. And what encouragement and strength this also affords us, dear friends, and what inspiration it gives to us then to renew continually our pledge of allegiance or faithfulness to him. As Joshua told his fellow Israelites back then, after recounting the many evidences of God's goodness and love through their history, as he urged them to fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when they responded, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods, we too will serve the Lord, for he is our gracious God. So we want to renew, and we want to reaffirm our pledge of allegiance to the Lord. In fact, you might think of each Sunday service conducted at God's house as a Shechem, a place where the Lord gathers us to reaffirm his commitment to us as the God of our salvation, and to let our hearts be filled with a holy awe and reverence due our Heavenly Father who has pledged himself to us. And then to let that love of God be expressed in our ongoing commitment to the Lord our God and his word, holding it fast, turning aside neither to the right hand or to the left. And to let our love for the Savior be shown in our behavior and our attitudes towards others, keeping in mind what Jesus said, that when we serve others in love, we're actually serving him. So we serve Jesus and the people around us by loving deeds we do for our spouse at home, as we heard in our first reading, being thoughtful, considerate, patient, and forgiving towards your husband, towards your wife. By the faithful work you put in at the workplace, towards your boss or your employer, even when it isn't very easy. By the spirit of cooperation we show our working together with our fellow believers here at St. Paul Lutheran. And I might challenge you this morning to do some brainstorming, some thinking, pondering of what you might do for the Lord at church, which you haven't yet perhaps chosen to do, or maybe the opportunities were not there for you to do, and maybe an area where you have special interests or gifts, hidden talents. Might be a window to wash, might be a room to clean, might be a flower bed to weed, some other property issue to help out with those that are already doing so. To, as the saying goes, many hands make for lesser work. To keep that in mind, and Another thing to be reminded of, certainly a talent or a privilege the Lord has given to each of us, which is good to be reminded of on a regular basis. Another good work for the Lord is to invite a friend to tell them about Jesus, invite them to church to hear the good news of his redeeming love for us all in his death and his resurrection. By the way, it's a good and important thing, dear friends, to keep in mind that the words of heavenly counsel contained in our Joshua text, where he says, "Choose now whom you will serve, renew your promise of faithfulness," is addressed to people whom the Lord had already adopted as his beloved children. And just because the Lord had chosen the Israelites by grace to be his, that they were in a position to be able to renew and reaffirm their allegiance to him. And so too, it's because Jesus chose us to be his. You know what he said Maundy Thursday night, night before he died? "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Appointed you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last." It's because of that that we are able to make a choice to serve and obey the Lord and to remain loyal to him by the Spirit's enabling power. Instead of choosing, like the people of the world, the god of self that would lead people to place their thinking above the Scriptures and follow the world's way of thinking in regard to what's true and good and moral and right. Or as the world often chooses, the god of sensual gratification that would induce them to follow the lusts of the flesh and the passing pleasures of sin in a transitory world. Or the god of mammon, which would prompt them and does prompt the unbelieving world to put money and all that it can buy on their heart's pedestal. And of course, they don't have any understanding of what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount or appreciation. "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." And no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I say it's just because of the Lord's covenant faithfulness to us, his amazing grace revealed in Christ Jesus, by which he's made us his saints, forgives our sins, deals with us mercifully as we trek as pilgrims towards our heavenly promised land, that has given us the ability to pledge ourselves to the Lord, to serve him and others with joyful and grateful hearts. So praise be to the Lord for so blessing you. And then let us say with Joshua and the Israelites of long ago, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, because he is our gracious God." And may it be your comfort and inspiration to know as you continue your walk of faith, in the words of the hymn writer, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not your Holy
Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your